Today on The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young.
Conflicts in the church with people and Christians sometimes out of city, other churches, they come. This is how the church needs to operate. See, Paul couldn't understand how the church at Corinth didn't get that. He didn't understand it because how did the Jews deal with conflict? They always dealt with the synagogue. They would deal with other Jews. They didn't go out in the world with their problems. They dealt with it right there according to their problems. And Paul said, now we as Christians, we can't do that. So he schooled the Corinthians. Then he shamed the Corinthians. And then he did a beautiful thing.
The truth is, we've all sinned, but in Christ we are washed clean. Welcome to The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young. Today, Dr. Young concludes his message, The Company You Keep, and reveals how all of us are unrighteous and subject to judgment by God's standard. But because of Christ, we can be washed clean, and we are called to extend grace and mercy to others. That is up next on The Winning Walk. Before we get to Dr. Young's message, there's a lot we can learn from observing God's creation. And sometimes the most profound lessons come from the most unlikely places. Dr. Young wants to help you build your home according to God's design with his devotional book, Cardinal Rules for a Happy Home. It'll bless you and help you apply biblical principles and lessons from nature to whatever stage you find yourself in your family and marriage. We'll send you a copy of Cardinal Rules for a Happy Home as thanks for your gift to help keep the proven truth of God's Word reaching you and people all over the world through this program. So call now to request your copy when you give. Call 1-800-350-WALK, 1-800-350-9255. You can also text the word winning to 41411. Text winning to 41411. We want to help you walk the winning walk with Christ every single day, so we've packed our website with practical resources to help you apply God's proven truth to your life, including books, Bible studies, and audio and video files. You can also sign up for Dr. Young's email devotional and even request personal prayer. So visit winningwalk.org for more of the proven truth and personal support you need. That's winningwalk.org. You can also follow your favorite program on Twitter. Our username is Winning Walk. That's Winning Walk. How has the Winning Walk impacted your life? Share your story with us by going to winningwalk.org/mystory. Now, here's Dr. Ed Young with today's message, The Company You Keep, Part 2.
Now, so we look at the secular court, and now look at the Christian court, what Paul says right here. He's taking them to school. He says, dare to go to law before the unrighteous, not before the saints. Verse 2, he says, or do you not know? And by the way, he says, do you not know in this chapter three times, implies it a third time. Do you not know? Do you not know? What's the matter with you? Are you stupid? Do you not know? He is schooling the church. And by the way, he's using the Socratic method. You know what the Socratic method? You ask questions. You say, well, I know that speaker is there. Well, how do you know that speaker is there? I know it's there because that's what a speaker is. What exactly is a speaker? Well, a speaker, well, how was, so it's a question upon question upon question. This has to do with a big old word that all of us should begin to know what it means, epistemology. Oh, that's a big, no, it's how you know that you know. And Socrates used the Socratic method and asked questions upon questions upon questions. The problem with that, he never landed. There are people like that. Is there a God? Here's the reason. Is that a, and you go on and on and on and on. There's no end to questions about anything. And this is what Paul is doing. He's asking questions and questions of those in the church saying, wake up. The secular court is not the answer. If it's among Christians, it's in the house of God. He said, don't you understand that? And then he goes on. He says, do you not know that we will judge the world? Whoa, did you know that? Did you not know that? As Christians, in eternity, I don't understand it, but the Bible teaches that. The middle of the book of Jude, 2 Peter, 2 John, Jesus in Matthew 19 talks about we as Christians will one day, with Jesus himself, blending in with the 12 tribes of Israel, we will be judges of the world. That's our future assignment. Well, I won't have anything to do in heaven. Well, that's a little opening foray right there. And then he said, do you not know you'll judge the angels? You mean we're going to? Yes, the fallen angels. Those demonic angels that Satan resides over, we will also be a part of the judgment of them in eternity. And Paul is saying, you've got this future assignment. You're going to judge along with Jesus Christ in eternity, and you're going to judge even the evil angels who've fallen. He said, and you're not able to judge things now in the body of Christ. Man, I'm going to send you to school. Wake up. You're able to do it. You're qualified to do it. And then we see in verse 5, he shames the Corinthians. He's taken them to school, hasn't he? A lot of satire there. And he continues. He shames them. He says this in verse 5, I say this to your shame. Is it so that there is not among you one wise man who will be able to decide between the brethren, the Christians? But brother goes to law, secular law, with brother, and that before unbelievers. Actually, then, it is already a defeat for you that you have lawsuits with one another. Why not rather be wronged? Why not rather be defrauded? Then he reminds the Christian, well, on the contrary, look at your background. You yourselves wrong and defraud. You do this even to other brothers and sisters in Christ. Before we get too pious, ladies and gentlemen. He said, can't you find somebody? Is there somebody who's got enough integrity that they could decide in the family of God? By the way, we do this periodically. We don't put it in the paper. I didn't know that, sure. Conflicts in the church with people and Christians, sometimes out of city, other churches, they come. This is how the church needs to operate. See, Paul couldn't understand how the church at Corinth didn't get that. But see, they'd gotten too wide, see, for their theology. He didn't understand it because how did the Jews deal with conflict? They always dealt with the synagogue. They would deal with other Jews. They didn't go out in the world with their problems. They dealt with it right there according to their problems. And Paul said, now we as Christians, we can't do that. So he schooled the Corinthians. Then he shamed the Corinthians. And then he did a beautiful thing. He divided them. He separated them. Look at verse number 9. Or do you not know, there it is again, that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? And he says, do not be deceived, neither fornicators be deceived, neither idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor homosexuals, nor thieves, nor the covetous, nor drunkards, nor revelers, nor swindlers. Whoa. He listed 6 of these earlier. He adds 4 to it. There's 10. I had a friend that was teaching this, and he said, I want to ask everybody here who's ever been involved in any of that long list of serious sin, would you lift your hand? And he said, a lot of hands went up. He said, a man who had come, who was away from God, away from Christ, and he was nervous being at church anyway, but when so many lifted their hands that they'd been a part of this list, he said, I knew I was right at home. Now, I'm tempted to do that here, but lest somebody misunderstand, there was a man. He's graduated now. He's a member of this church who told me, new Christian, brilliant, I don't like the Ten Commandments. I don't like the thou shalt nots. He says, I like the Beatitudes. I said, you're making a serious mistake as a new Christian. Ten Commandments are a lot easier than Beatitudes. The Beatitudes say, if you have wanted to kill somebody in your heart, you've killed them. If you thought about adultery in your mind, you've already committed adultery. I said, you better stay the Ten Commandments. Boy, there's another league in the Beatitudes. Now, if I asked all of us here worshiping the question, hey, can you identify with any of these? Every hand must go up in light of the Beatitudes and the biblical principles by which you and I are called to live. There's nobody that can keep your hand down. If you can, I want to see you after class, because you do not understand. So here, Paul is saying, I want to show you what is righteous and what is unrighteous. I want to show you what is the kingdom of God and what is not the kingdom of God. If you look at this passage, he's putting all of these heinous sins in parentheses. And the parentheses, here's the kingdom of God, here's the kingdom of God. In the middle of all of this, he's saying, if you live this lifestyle, you're out of the kingdom. But we've all confessed, if we understand, we have broken this. And therefore, we're boxed in. But then there comes one of the most powerful, profound words. Here's all of these immoral acts in which we've all been caught up in, omission, commission, all of us are caught in them. And then Paul looks at Corinth as he looks to us today in the 21st century. Look at this little phrase, verse 11. Such were some of you. Isn't that great? Isn't that great? That's the reason the church, we accept anybody and everybody, whatever background, it makes no difference to us. Come, come, we accept everybody, but we do not applaud or approve of these immoral lifestyles. The church accepts but does not applaud or approve, but point out that this lifestyle is not of the kingdom of God. But the beautiful thing is, he said, oh, we used to be like that. Such were some of you. We got on the wrong side of the cross, remember, even after we'd come to Christ. Such were some of you. But what happened? But look at the next. It's beautiful. It is magnificent. What happened? He says simply that you were washed, but you were sanctified. But you were justified. We all identify. Every hand went up. If you didn't, you got a problem. You don't understand. Every hand went up. Omission, commission in our minds, in our heart, every hand went up. And boy, we're in trouble, because that's not in the kingdom. But because of Jesus Christ, we have been washed. I baptized, I don't know how many people. And so many times I asked them, what did that mean to you? And they said, I've never felt this clean. I've heard that, I can't tell you how many times. Kids, adults, 90-year-old, I've never felt. Not that baptism saves us, but it is a symbol, picture of cleansing. Because you see, there's a problem of dirt and debt. The debt comes when you and I break the commandments. The debt comes when you and I rebel from God. The debt comes when we make wrong decisions. The debt comes when we do not do what we ought to do, and we're in debt to God. There is a debt there that we have squandered what God would have us to do and be and how we'd have. So we built up a debt, but that debt was paid by Jesus on the cross, his shed blood, we get that. Also, there's a problem of dirt. Dirt within, dirt without. And also the same thing happens when we're washed, our debt is paid and the dirt is washed away. We're clean. That makes us move from these kind of lifestyles, becomes yesterday, such were some of you, and now we're washed. Isn't that a great picture? We're washed. We're like Peter. When remember Jesus washing his feet, and Peter said, "Oh, you can't wash my feet." He said, "If I don't wash your feet, I won't have you." And Peter said, "Just wash me all over. Just wash everything about me. Dirt and debt." Then he said, "You're sanctified." The word saint is the word Christian. It means we are set apart. We are sanctified. We are holy. I'd show a hand, 100 people here think we're holy. I don't know. My hand wouldn't go up till I thought about it. And in the sight of God in Christ, those in Christ, we are holy. All of us, we're sanctified. We've been washed. And then that wonderful pregnant word at the end. Washed, sanctified, justified. Whoa. You were justified, how? In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Justice, a fleeting thing. In the name of Christ and in the Spirit of our God, here you have the Trinity all in one place. Judge Mara had Ed Martell brought before him in a court. Ed Martell was 27 years old. He was on bail and a drug sting. He was found to be manufacturing crack cocaine and selling it. He had a rap sheet going back to his teenage years, that long. He stood before the judge, Ed Martell. The judge would have sentenced him to 20 years in prison, 27 years old, assuring him almost a life of crime. But that judge, who was a born-again Christian, he looked at Ed, after he'd talked with him, who was born in a ghetto, never had a father, long, long history of crime, now facing 20 years in prison, he looked at him and said, "You've got something. You've got ability. You've got talent." He said, "I'm going to give you 3 years probation." And he said, "I want you to report back to me regularly and tell me how you're beginning to do something big that'll count for this world." Parenthesis, you can't tell anybody this, but evidently that judge won Ed Martell to Christ. And now he had a new life. And so what did he do? He was a high school dropout, 27. He got his GED. He went to community college for 2 years. He had the grades. He got a scholarship to go to the university. And he wanted to be like the only father figure he'd ever known, the judge. So he applied and got a scholarship to law school. While in law school, he went and clerked in the district attorney's office there in the District of Columbia. He finished law school in flying colors, but he had a problem. When the judge challenged him as a 27-year-old man to do something, Ed said, "I was only a felon with a dream." Got a lot of that. But these years went by, junior college, college, law school, but he had a problem. Passed the bar, had a problem. A felon cannot be an officer of the court. And he had a rap sheet this long. And so with the help of the Perry Law Firm, who I think is in Detroit, they'd already wanted to hire him, He wrote a 1,200-page dissertation to a little group of people trying to tell them, explain to them, that's who I used to be and that is who I am. I'm ashamed of this, but I want to make a difference in this world. And with the help of the judge and the law firm that wanted to hire him, he wrote this 1,200-page defense, and in 15 minutes, this group expunged his criminal record, erased it. This past Wednesday, last week, you got it? Last week, Ed went back to that courtroom where he had been 16 years before. He is now 43 years old. And he stood before the judge. He raised his right hand. And he said, I, Edward Martell, do solemnly swear. And he became an attorney, an officer of the court. The law firm that was giving in a position, two of the lawyers were there and they brought a briefcase with his name on it and a pen with his initials. Ladies and gentlemen, what an opportunity in our courts, in our land. This is what having freedom is all about in the United States of America. The grace of God demonstrated in every arena of life. Thank you, Lord, for a second chance. Such, I want to say was, some of you know, such was all of us.
Well, before we leave you today, Dr. Young is here to answer a couple of questions coming out of the message we've just heard. Dr. Young, you talked about how Paul took the Corinthians to task for taking other church members to court and said, if it's among Christians, it's in the house of God. Is it ever appropriate to take another Christian to court in our current legal system?
Well, I don't think so. If you have a church or you have Christian people, and if both of you are genuine born-again Christians, you can come together and ask some Christians who are impartial, who are prayerful, who are men and women of God to make this judgment about the dispute you have with a brother or a sister. Now, in the corporate world, it's different. There may be a situation where you have some Christians in this company and some Christians in this company, but there's some sort of legal or financial dispute, then you may have to go to a public court of law. But genuinely speaking, generally speaking, you can take all your disputes and confine them to other Christians who will judge biblically and accurately in almost every situation.
Thanks, Dr. Young. We hope today's message has been a source of encouragement for you, and we'd love to help you build a strong marriage and home by sending you Dr. Young's devotional book called Cardinal Rules for a Happy Home. God has a wonderful design for your home in which He wants to build your family and marriage. In his 90-day devotional book, Cardinal Rules for a Happy Home, Dr. Young draws on lessons from nature, God's Word, and personal experience to help you have the godly marriage God wants for you. And each daily devotional takes just 15 minutes, so even the busiest couple can find time for it. We're excited to send you a copy of Cardinal Rules for a Happy Home as thanks for your gift to help keep the winning walk strong, encouraging you and people all over the world with the proven truth of God's Word. So call now and give and request your copy. 1-800-350-WALK. 1-800-350-9255. You can also text the word winning to 41411. Text winning to 41411. Thanks for being with us today. Come back next week for more proven truth as Dr. Young begins his message, The Body, and explores the perils of sex outside of God's design.